And gentlemen, welcome back to the Landy Lodge, a little late night Landy Lodge here for episode 192 of the podcast. We're talking Ever Crisis, the new mobile game on the scene from Square Enix. I definitely have a lot to say about it. I don't want to give away how I'm feeling just yet because we got to give a shout out to the Sages of the Lodge, the beautiful names you see on your screen here who are YouTube channel members or donate to the channel directly. Keep my nonsense going and support me a little further. But anyway, guys, look, the connection, if you, just in case you're new here, last month or so, the connection's been a little unstable, a little bit wonky, so I'm counting on you guys in the chat. I see there's a number of you in here now. Let me know if everything's coming in smooth. Let me know if everything looks good to you guys so I can decide at the end of the episode whether to leave this live stream up or to put the recording up, which will be, of course, much more smooth than a live stream. But either way, let's pray that it holds up. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk some Ever Crisis. We have a lot to talk about. So first things first, I actually wanted to pull up this artwork. One, because I think it's cool. Two, because my theory crackpot brain immediately is like, is this artwork trying to tell us something? Is there something here that's a wink and a nod that we're not quite getting? Can't help it. As you guys know, Kingdom Hearts fan, I'm looking around every corner for a clue. So definitely want to look at this artwork. But guys, how are we coming in? Is the stream coming in smooth? Does the video look smooth to you guys? Is the audio coming in smooth? Please let me know. And I'll keep going. You're sounding good. Connection seems okay right now on my end. You look great. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Star Latte. Best mod in the game, the Lady of the Lodge. Keep me posted again, guys. Just let me know everything looks good on your end. And, okay. I want to talk about the art. So, first things first, I think it looks great. It looks like it's half and half on the stream, but it's more like two-thirds Cloud, one-third Zach. But it does look cool when you have it split 50-50, you know? Hey, Game Changer, member for 5 months. Thank you, dude. Thanks for the support, and what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us. You know, I have to wonder if this is some kind of signal that they're in two different worlds. Because again, you know, anyone who's caught up with Remake and Rebirth and everything going on there, there's a situation with Zack where we don't quite know exactly what Square Enix's hand is. Is it one timeline and Zack is just at a different location than the party? Is it two timelines? Is it one timeline and Zack is in the live stream? It's like, we really don't know. They haven't showed us their hand. So when I look at this sort of artwork and the two differences between the skies, it makes me wonder if there's some kind of parallel world, two different worlds kind of trope being played out here. You know, you have Cloud, who his sword is pointed up. Zack, the Buster Sword's pointed down. So, I don't know. Let's see what the chat's thinking. All right. Are Zack and Cloud alive? We still got to figure it out. I mean, obviously we know Cloud's alive. Zack, it seems like he's alive, but I don't want to rule out that he could be like in the live stream or caught inside some sort of woven memory inside the live stream that was created as a consequence of what we did at the end of Remake. The truth is, we just don't know. Square has not shown their hand, but Cranapple just subscribed with Prime over on Twitch. Thank you very much, Cranapple. Welcome to the chat. Welcome to the stream. I found this artwork very cool. I just wanted to talk about this briefly before we kind of get into the Ever Crisis of it all. I want to talk about some story stuff. I want to talk about some gameplay stuff. But I suppose just to get ourselves started, and we'll make plenty of time for FF7 theory crafting when we get to that 1 hour mark. But in the meantime, I kind of want to just give sort of an overall take, my overall impressions of Ever Crisis. I'll say this. It's fun. It is a lot of fun. I have found myself enjoying it. I don't feel like the gameplay is all that limited by it being a mobile game. I find that all the different game modes were really interesting. Like, I didn't... Like, usually when I play a game, I'm pretty hooked on just, like, story, 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 story. Like, with FF14, I beelined the story before I ever really got too involved in sort of the stuff on the periphery. But with Ever Crisis, I'm playing it a little different. Like, I'm doing those solo quests. I just unlocked the Chocobo section. There's a whole co-op section. And again, separate missions and stuff like that. I found it really engaging. Like, it didn't seem like a labor. Because one thing I wanted to do before going to this podcast, I wanted to kind of try out all the different game modes, you know, really before giving my opinion. And it really didn't feel like a chore. Like, it really did not feel like a chore to try out anything that wasn't the story mode. However, I was impressed as I am with the gameplay. Again, just kind of giving my broad take here in the beginning. Impressed as I was with the gameplay, Umbra is here. What's going on, Umbra? And Umbra has another mod of the Lodge. Please let me know how I'm coming in. Let me know if my connection is stable, if the audio and video looks good. Always good to have other opinions. And I see Lands of Masters is here. What's going on, my man? It's good to have you in here. Everyone, make sure you check out Lands. Tiger Weirdo says, I do believe this team is the KH4 team. No. The FF7 Trilogy team and the Kingdom Hearts team are two separate teams. That is a misconception. I don't know where it came from that the FF7 remake team and the Kingdom Hearts team are the same team. They're two separate dev teams that have two very different styles. I just think because Nomura is connected to both teams, people kind of just lump them together. So, I don't know. Just keep that in mind moving forward. They're not the same teams. But again, I have to say, as cool as the cutscenes look, as fun as the gameplay can be, I still got to try out the co-op, which, who was in the chat? Someone was in the chat. Riku, I think, was in the chat. Riku Kingdom Hearts was talking up the co-op gameplay. I haven't played the co-op yet. It's one of the few modes I haven't tried yet. But I will say, gameplay aside, the gacha mechanics and the mobile stuff is a little off-putting. I have to be honest. It's a little off-putting. You know, I'm not necessarily against the in-game currencies and racking up blue crystals and red crystals and gil, and you got to keep track of these three or four different currencies because they get you different rewards. Look, I'm not saying that's not a system that works or that it can't work. I'm just saying for me, it kind of takes me out of the experience a little bit. And I don't think this is anything that surprises anyone. I think most people would agree. But I will say, and maybe this is just what they're doing in the beginning, they seem pretty generous about the rewards. Like they're currently doing, which I thought was very cool, this sort of like Costa del Sol beach watermelon tonberry promotion. And like the main prize is this new Tifa outfit where she's wearing like a trucker or like baseball cap and she's in this beach attire. I was able to unlock it in like 10 minutes, you know? So I found that while the mobile and gacha mechanics are very in your face and can at times pull you out, I don't feel they're nearly as predatory as this sort of mobile genre of gaming allows for. And again, maybe that's just them trying to get into our good graces in the beginning. I don't know. I don't know if it'll always be that way. But what I can say is in the beginning, as off-putting as some of these mobile gacha mechanics really can be, they aren't quite as predatory as some other games that have gone mobile. Let's just say that. But anyway, again, I think it's very cool. I think the outfits are so cool. That too. I think the outfits, I feel like, I don't know who's doing the designing. You know, obviously Nomura is the main character designer for FF7. But I wonder if they have somebody just like whose job it is to just make all these cool outfits. Because they are really cool. And I have felt motivated to unlock them whenever something pops up. I got to get the new Red 13 one. Sven Gerudo-san says, I am just now at the end of FF7 Remake. Is Ever Crisis supposed to be connected? It would appear so. You know, Ever Crisis kind of sold itself, Sven, as this way to recap the whole compilation or as a way to get the whole compilation in one scoop. It seems to be a little bit more than that. It seems to be, you know what, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, why don't we? Let's see. Right here in the beginning, right? So, this is the first scene in Ever Crisis right here. And this is Sephiroth who's narrating it. I would put the audio on, but it's in Japanese. So for our audio listeners, it's not going to do them any good. So I'll just read it out. This whole intro, when you boot up the game, it appears as though that if you were to interpret this in a fourth wall breaking way, this may be Sephiroth going through the live stream, getting all the memories of the journey of FF7, excuse me. But here, how the hell do you reply to comments? Do you mean like while I'm live? I got the chat pulled up. I could see you. Also just realized, nice beard, Landy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you like it because I'm shaving it tomorrow. We're going to downsize to the goatee. Co-op is a lot of fun. Yeah, I gotta give that a shot soon. Okay. So I think it's very cool that it opens this way. And again, it kind of gets my theory brain going. But again, Sephiroth jumps in, says the life stream is the essence of the planet. A churning river of memories. And again, we have talked about this, that like the thread, the thread that ties the DNA of FF7 together is memories. Corrupted memories, true memories, false memories. It's at the core of FF7's DNA. So a churning river of memories, that's what the live stream is. Let's keep it going. Then he says, as they come together and drift apart, a story is given shape. Here we go. An unprecedented tale, another possibility. So that's where I get thrown. Where I'm like, what do you mean another possibility? That right there to me, unprecedented tale, makes me think of the unknown journey will continue, right? Kind of has a similar vibe. It makes me think that Sephiroth is witnessing all of this, or he's absorbing these memories, either pre-remake or post-remake. I don't know. Riku Kingdom Hearts says, I just started First Soldier and it's good so far. Yeah, I want to take some time to talk about First Soldier. I really do. Because I do like that trio, but we'll get into it. We'll keep it going. An unprecedented tale, another possibility. Then he says, I believe he has one more line before the scene kicks off. No, they just kick it off. Okay. So anyway, that right there gets my theory head turning. I'm like, what are they cooking? What are they cooking that Sephiroth is sort of narrating this experience, which is supposed to be some kind of recap, right? Let's move on. I want to talk a little gameplay. Let's move a little further into when the gameplay gets a little more complex. I do want to talk about Avalanche, because there's some Avalanche gravy that we need to discuss. But let me pull up a little battle scene right here, okay? So very cool. I liked it a lot. You know, it reminded me that, you know, because the game does operate pretty much as a turn-based RPG. There's an auto attack that you don't have to initiate, so your party is just always attacking, always racking up damage. But I found the combat to actually be pretty good. You know, again, it's turn-based, so it doesn't really get held back by its sort of mobile presentation or mobile UI. It makes it feel like an old-school FF7, you know, because I'm selecting these particular attacks, you know, almost in a strategic-like manner as opposed to, that's very loud. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize I had that on. I tend to make that mistake. So my apologies, everybody. Let me keep that going. Anyway, as I was saying, the combat operating in this way really does give it sort of the old school charm, I suppose it's going for. UI is very smooth. I don't feel like there's any sort of bad input delays or anything like that. It's basic, you know what I mean? And again, we are at the start of a game, so typically when there's, how do I put it? In a turn-based RPG, the first few hours of the game are not reflective of what the rest of the experience is going to be. So I'll hold out some time for the combat to see if it gets any more advanced or any more complex, complicated, strategic. I will say the further I get into it, the more I'm actually liking the combat. What's also cool is, you know, and it depends if this is for you or not, there is a mechanic where the game will just do the battles for you. You can set it to auto. Because I don't think this is a game that's really trying to challenge anyone too hard. There are challenges. There are points where I got stuck. But the game wants you to keep moving forward. So you could set it to auto. And like, I had a point today where I was like, you know, preparing dinner or cleaning up, and I was in the middle of a battle, and instead of pausing it, I just put on auto, let it finish the battle, do what I had to do, and came right back to it. Which, again, I thought was pretty cool. So, you know, combat-wise, it kind of operates as a sort of semi-autopiloted turn-based combat. Again, you know, your party members have an AI, and they will operate on themselves. You don't have to rotate to use their ATB. Or whatever their ATB equivalent is, they will go and do it themselves. But you can rotate as you see fit. I do want to start this. So I want to pause here. I set it to auto because I suck and I keep dying. Well, I mean, again, that's another advantage. If you haven't quite figured out the mechanics yet, or if you're not very good but you want to move forward, you can just set it to auto and let it run it for you. So, you know, there's a low barrier of entry and not much of a skill curve. Let's put it that way. I want to talk about this, though, and I want to talk about Avalanche, because Avalanche got me excited. hear me out on this. So check this out. You know, in OGFF7, Avalanche was only in the first like 4 hours of the game. And then that's it. They're gone. So they didn't get a lot of development, but they didn't need it. They were really there to kind of build into Tifa and Barret's tragic circumstances, you know? But Remake has chosen to flesh them out a little further. One of the things, one of the character traits they've given to Biggs that is present in Remake that really wasn't present in the OG is Biggs is a bit of a worrywart. There are two major things with Biggs they added. One, that he's a worrywart. And two, that he's a big part of Midgar, an orphanage in Midgar, particularly the one in Aerith's sector. Now, that all may have been loosely implied or buried in some Ultimania, but as far as OGFF7's presentation of the story, there was no real mention of Biggs being a worrywart. There was no real mention of Biggs being involved with the orphanage. However, what I'm finding in Evercrisis is that even though we are going through the story as if it was OG, they're presenting OG as if some of these remake, they present OG as if some of these remake additions were always there. And one example of that would be Biggs here. Here he is. Come on. Where is everyone? You're going to see him kind of have an anxious aura about him. And I thought that was very interesting because that's something Remake added, but it's being shown to us as if it was part of OG. See, here he is. They're okay, right? Yeah, they're okay. Like he's talking to himself, kind of talking himself down. Things like that get me very interested because I'm wondering, I'm like, where is Square Enix going to draw the line on the changes they make in Remake for like, what do they change in Remake that it's implied this was an OG, like Biggs being in Worrywart? And what do they change in Remake that's different from OG, like Zack being alive? It'll be very cool to see. But I want to keep this moving. Because I want to talk a little bit about the overworld gameplay, which I also thought was very good. Riku Kingdom Hearts says, my first stream and I'm enjoying it. Well, I'm glad you're here, Riku. I'm glad you're here. Obviously with your name, Riku Kingdom Hearts. Hope to see you at a Kingdom Hearts stream sometime. A Kingdom Hearts episode. But thanks. Thanks for hanging out with us. All right. So, you know, one of the weaknesses going back to OG, and I played OG probably like in my lifetime, somewhere between 20 and 25 times. I do find the more time goes on, it gets a little bit harder to go back to OG, primarily because of the map exploration. I think OG's combat, OG's soundtrack, OG's story, all of that still holds up to this day. Where I struggle is the map exploration. And not necessarily the big overworld map, but when like you're in the city of Midgar or you're in one of those caverns, it can be kind of tough to make out where you're supposed to go or what's an available path. I do like, and it makes me nostalgic for these old like top-down Final Fantasy views, because I really like the map navigation in this game. You know, I'm looking forward to kind of navigating through more spaces. Like, can confirm 20 to 25 times. Yeah, you've probably been around, Charlotte. You've probably been around for maybe four of them since we started dating. But, yeah. The map exploration I found very, very cool, very, very easy to figure out. And I will say we didn't get a lot of it in the OG FF7 section, but in the Crisis Core section, that whole section where you're going through Wutai and you got to go through specific doors and activate certain paths, that was awesome. Like, just doing like a top-down sort of dungeon crawl, and there is like a dungeon sort of crawl version of the like solo mission gameplay too, so you can do that sporadically. You don't have to do it through the story. But anyway, that Wutai mission in the Crisis Core section of the game that's currently live was so cool. Like, it made me long for the days where I used to explore a Final Fantasy map that way, you know? How far into FF7 does Evercrisis go at launch? I am, as far as OGFF7 goes, I'm up to like right before Wall Market, and I think I'm almost done. But I'm pretty sure it goes up to right before Wall Market. Kingdom Hearts is my comfort game series. Riku, hey, I would say like Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, and Zelda have been like big comfort games for me. So I'm right there with you. Oh, wow, you go to Wutai in FF7? That'll be fun in the future remakes. You know what's funny, Sven? In OG FF7, going to Wutai is optional. Definitely not going to be the case in Remake. In Crisis Core, Wutai is like the first big section you play through. So when you play through the Wutai section of Crisis Core, let me know how you like it. All right. Either 3.5 or 4.5, actually. You're stuck at that part. You're right. You're right. I am currently on a playthrough. Right after that part. Let's put it that way. So look, I want to talk about Avalanche a little more. It's a very interesting part with Avalanche that really took me by surprise. And I have to wonder if there's any clues, because you guys know how my brain works. Also, it was really cool. I thought they did this scene really well. The scene with Cloud and Tifa and Cloud making the promise to her. I thought they handled that scene very well. Here we go. So this was interesting too, that they basically had a separate mission for every member of Avalanche. So not only is this game covering what OG FF7 did, and not only is it integrating what Remake added, they're adding new stuff. This conversation with Biggs I'm about to throw up on the screen is completely new. It's not in OG and it's not in Remake. And when I saw that they were doing stuff like that, I was like, yes, build these characters out more. Build these circumstances out more. You know, don't just retread OG. Don't just pay tribute to the Remake. This is Ever Crisis. Throw in some fresh gravy. Let me throw this on, baby. Let me throw this on. Because I thought this was cool. Here you are. You're going to have a drink with Biggs. Which, man, if I could have done that in Remake, I would have been... Remake made me a very happy camper. I would have been an even happier camper if I could have just had a drink with Biggs at some point in Seventh Heaven. But here he is asking Cloud if he wants a drink. And Cloud's being a party pooper. He's like, don't need to rest up for tomorrow. Biggs says, can't sleep. Nerves, I guess. Hoping this will help. Again, sort of reintegrating this idea that Biggs is a bit of a worrywart, which again was not something you saw in OG, but is... something that's being just, how would I put it, fine-tooled from Remake into Ever Crisis. Let me keep this going. Keep this going. Cloud agrees to have the drink with him. Big says, you kept your cool during that mission. What kind of training do soldiers go through to become like that? And I love this too, because... obviously, you see it in Remake. Biggs loves Cloud. Like, from day one, he's like, I'm glad this guy's on our side. I like him. You know, he even teases him a little bit. You know, he always likes Cloud. And they do a good job of showing you why. But to me, I actually think Ever Crisis, by further reinforcing how anxious Biggs can be, how nervous Biggs can be, and that he admires how cool to the core Cloud can be, how in tough situations Cloud can be really composed. Now it all of a sudden, it makes more sense why Biggs likes him so much, why Biggs has taken such a liking to him. So it's things like this where I'm like, I really like whatever Crisis is doing because they're building into this. So let me keep it going. Take a swig for Biggs's orphans. Keep that rolling. Cloud says, you know, nothing special, and they don't go through any special training to be cool or composed. Big says, yeah, right. Come on, tell me. He's trying to get him drunk, trying to get him to talk. And then Cloud essentially explains to him, if I'm not mistaken. See, Kevin says, this is Ever Crisis. It's a gacha thrown in multiverse. Anything goes. Suppose you could say that. Okay, let's pull this forward a little. Okay. Then right here, Pig says, okay, so basically, you were born a tough guy. Doesn't help me in the least. And again, they kind of go back and forth. They have good chemistry. You know what I mean? You see, he says here, I got kids to feed. I love how they slip that in. Love how they slip that in. Again, not just that he was an anxious guy, but that he also really cares about the kids of that orphanage. Really cool of them to do that. Excuse me. You do, and I love how like he doesn't explain. So like doesn't explain that they're orphans. He just says from babies to the not so young. So Cloud's like, these are all your babies? These are all your kids? I like that he's not like really letting him into that. See, here he is. They show him laughing. You know, it's just, I don't know. I like Biggs because I like that he has that nuance where he can admire someone, but also like tease them and poke at their like weaknesses. Like he can tell Cloud is a little socially dense. Right. And then you have this scene with Wedge, which I thought was also cool. You know, because this is after the first mission with Avalanche. So they're a little more loosened up. You know, I don't know if I'll go as far into Wedge, you know. But here they are, you know. I believe they share this pizza together. Oh, no, no, no. And that's the okay, they do the same thing with Wedge in the sense that, you know, something that was added to Wedge in Remake. What up, Corey Sarakis in the house? One thing that Remake built into Wedge is that he's kind of a crazy cat dude. Like, you think of the crazy cat lady. Wedge is the crazy cat man. Like, you go to his apartment in the slums and he's taking care of like 11, 12 cats. And I can't help but think that maybe Wedge is like Nomura's self-insert. Because we know Nomura loves his cats. I think he's got multiple cats. He's always like including cats in some artwork. So I almost wonder if Wedge has just become Nomura's self-insert. And that'll be my crazy tinfoil hat theory of the episode. Is that Wedge is Nomura's self-insert. But again, it's just really cool to see Evercrisis, while it's covering what happened in OG, taking some of Remake's additions and woving it into the history of Final Fantasy. Again, building in some of Wedge's new character traits into, you know, having an affinity for cats. And now let's see. I believe that's all that really goes on them. Then we have Jesse. Well, let me see if I can recollect what happens here. I'm pretty sure she's just being, you know, the awesome techie that she is. Let's see. Okay, then they do the battle. Here we go. That's right, they brought up the whole pizza thing. The fact that, you know, Jesse owes Cloud a pizza. And I wonder what that, I don't know if there's anything much deeper going on there. I know you turned down the pizza, but I might have something better. I think you're going to love this. I think she gives him the materia. Did I remember that correctly? I think so, anyway. A cat king, he's me. Hell yeah, Lance. I love your cats, Lance. I love whenever they sneak on stream. What does he give here? What does she give him here? Why did I forget this? Oh, the special training program. Okay. All right, then we'll let that roll. But again, it's stuff like that I really liked. Again, that it's not just a retread of OG. We just have, you know, kind of just like sort of blending everything together, you know? Biggs was my fave character until the random cat made a guest appearance. Biggs is an awesome character, dude. Of the three, of the Avalanche trio, Biggs is easily my favorite. Easily my favorite. I love Biggs, man. He's my guy. Corey Sarakis says, been really liking Evercrisis so far. It's been a fun little game to pass the time while on car rides or on the toilet at work. Bro, front. I'm not going to sit here in front. Like, I've not been playing Evercrisis like mad when I'm in the bathroom. It's fantastic. I will say, I think maybe 20 to 30% of my playtime on Evercrisis has been when I'm in the bathroom. What can I say? I've got nothing to hide. I got nothing to hide. Okay. There are moments where I feel like I really connected with Sephiroth. We're going to get into that. I want to talk about Sephiroth. I'm saving the juice for the end. which it's already been 35 minutes, so maybe I need to get to it soon. I know I talked about the gameplay. Oh, let's talk about the soundtrack. Let's talk about the soundtrack for a minute. So, you know, there aren't a lot of new arrangements, but I will say, of like the newer stuff I've heard, the newer arrangements, which there's some new songs in the first Soldier gameplay. There's some new songs. I think in OG there was like a remix. I don't know. But there was one in particular that I really liked. That I really liked. So let me pull it up. Here we go. So check this. Let me put the sound back on. So if you're like me and you love FF7, but you also loved Lion King as a kid, they basically took the FF7 theme and like made like a Lion King remix of it. It's the only way I could put it. Let me see. I think it's right here. Yeah, right here. It almost seems like a Lion King-ish remix of the Overworld theme. You guys hear that? Hopefully it gets to like the sort of bigger parts where like the chorus is in and the choir's in. Because I love it. I'm going to let that roll. Because again, I think it's, you know, one thing that's always been special about FF7 is the soundtrack. Even that old. See, like right here, listen to this. Come on, how sweet is that? How sweet is that tune, man? It sounds like you're out. Like, if this is the song that plays as you explore the overworld in Rebirth, I'm gonna lose it. If that's how they play the overworld when you're just running around in the open world in Rebirth, I will lose it. Because I think it's perfect. I could listen to it all day. Very jungly. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. All right, let's kill the audio. Get back to where we were over here. Okay. Very jungly. Glenn from First Soldier is pretty dope too. Your voice to music ratio sounds good, by the way. Thank you. Am I still coming in smooth? Has it been a smooth episode, guys? Has the audio and video stayed smooth? Feels a little... Yeah, it does feel a little... The arrangement does seem to have a little bit of Yoko Shimomura in there, you could say. Okay. So we're almost at 40 minutes. I did feel like this was going to be a shorter episode. Just because it's supposed to just be sort of like my first impressions. I'll definitely do another episode where we go hard on a lot of the story stuff. Because I haven't finished the First Soldier stuff. I'm pretty far in. Like, I put a big chunk of time into the First Soldier, but it just keeps going. So we'll do another episode where I really flesh all that out a little bit more. But I suppose maybe, just maybe we could talk a little bit about Sephiroth. Let me see. Where do I have Sephiroth? Probably in here. So let's talk about it. Ooh, I did want to pull... You know what? Not at the risk of spoilers. There was a Sephiroth scene I was going to play, but it does spoil a little bit, I suppose. Because, yeah, I do want to talk First Soldier a little bit. Because I thought what we saw... So again, there's this. We saw this in the trailer that Sephiroth is trying to get in touch with Genesis, which to me makes me think, obviously, we'll probably see Genesis at some point in this First Soldier story. But I got a feeling Genesis is going to be very important to the series moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if he has some kind of appearance in Rebirth. But again, just can't ignore that they brought Genesis back up very briefly. But here's the interesting thing about Glenn, man. Is he seems very, very cocky. He's like a happy Jack Garland from Stranger of Paradise, you know what I mean? In a very strange way. But I wonder what they're doing with Sephiroth here. Because, you know, this is nothing we didn't see in the trailer. But there's some more scenes with a young Sephiroth at the start of the first soldier gameplay, which, did I prepare that? Let me see something. I could have sworn I had that prepared, ready to go. Which I guess I could pull it up if I needed to. But I could just talk about it briefly. All right, let me just spill over this. Before I talk about these three, the first soldier trio, because I actually really like this first soldier trio. Like, I actually think they're pretty cool. Especially once they're in their getups, because they're not going to wear these soldier uniforms the whole time. They end up getting into, like, their own unique outfits, and they've all got cool drip. They've all got cool drip. But sort of the perception within Soldier, right, is that Sephiroth, even though he's a prodigy, to the soldiers like Glenn, Matt, and Lucia, he's just a kid. Like, he's just this kid, and Glenn almost doesn't like it. He almost feels like that's just my understanding, at least, the vibes I'm getting, is that Glenn is almost like a little jealous of Sephiroth, or feels competitive with him, because like, hey, you're this young guy, and you already have all this acclaim, you're the golden child, you're one of Hojo's soldiers, and, all right, listen, if you don't want to be spoiled on OGFF7, mute the podcast for the next 30 seconds, okay? 3, 2, 1. I loved the fact that Sephiroth referred to himself as one of Hojo's soldiers, because as we know, Hojo is Sephiroth's biological father. And just to refer to himself as that way, I thought was very cool. Okay, you should be unmuted now if you muted yourself for those 30 seconds. Let's see. Sven says, so is the black robe look supposed to represent the soldier ones who were genetically made? Are you talking about the guys who are like in the... You're talking about Remake, right? The guys who were in the black hoods? Sven, let me know that you're talking Remake and then I can answer that. But, you know, I thought that's an interesting dynamic between Glenn and Sephiroth. The Glenn is like the older guy. Sephiroth's the younger guy, but he's just like this golden child within Shinra. It's very interesting because it's not only a side of Sephiroth we've never seen before. It's a side of Sephiroth we never even knew existed. We knew he was like the war hero and that all of Shinra looked up to him. But we didn't know there was this sort of like golden child reputation about him. And I thought that was very cool. Follow your feelings, Landy. You're getting real warm with Glenn. Dude, honestly, my tinfoil hat theory about Glenn is that he's related to Cloud in some way. I can't shake that feeling. I brought it up on one of my last podcasts. I'm bringing it up here. I can't help but shake the fact that Glenn might have something to do with Cloud. Like, am I crazy? Am I crazy, chat? Am I crazy? Maybe Lucia has something to do with Tifa. Maybe Matt has something to do with Barrett. I don't know. It's all very peculiar. But I did like that, too, that they all have their different roles. Glenn is sort of like this leader hack and slash guy. Lucia is this, like, sharpshooting, like, sniper. And Matt is, like, the brains of the operation. I thought that was very cool. Because it's a sort of trio dynamic, unlike any of the trio dynamics we have in FF7. So I thought that was really cool. Sven says, yeah, I thought it was the same robe as the guy fighting Sephiroth just now. My bad if it was different in Remake. Yeah, it's very different. There's the Glenn, who the blonde guy you see on screen, that's who was in the robe in that previous clip. The guys in the robes in Remake, very different. Very different. Which, let me pull this up. I'm going to pull it up. There's a cool young Sephiroth scene, which I thought was awesome. And just so you guys could have an idea of what I'm talking about, I'll pull it up. Here, let's put this over here. Put that on full. Let's switch it over. Okay, so let me put the sound on. We're going to watch this scene. I thought this was cool. If ever Crisis, and it's particularly First Soldier, gives us more scenes like this, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. More of this, please. More gravy like this, please. Okay, let's keep it going. Or rather, let's let it roll. And let me just pause right there. Sephiroth being associated with white feathers. And to me, this is where I'm at with Sephiroth. I guess we could talk about it now. You know, I know a lot of people are scared they're going to give him some kind of redemption arc, but I don't think many people, I don't know. I don't see the redemption arc coming. What I see is they want to show you that Sephiroth's a tragedy. That's what I'm getting from this. People see everything going on with Remake. People see this, all this stuff going on in Ever Crisis. And they're like, oh, they're going to redeem him. They're going to make him like a, I was actually a good guy. I don't see that. I see is that they want to make you feel for him. That's what I'm seeing. He's calling his friend Genesis, who won't pick up. When he was young and just a kid, he was seen as like this hero, this symbol of hope. It's crazy, man. I'll let this keep rolling, but we'll talk about that a little more. Also, he doesn't have the Masamune yet. I wonder if... I hope we eventually see how Sephiroth got his sword. To me, that would be amazing. Star Latte Studio says, okay, this is in relation to Glenn. Their hair is exactly the same color and texture. I don't think that's unintentional. Yeah, as far as Glenn being like somehow related or associated with Cloud, maybe it's coincidence, but I don't think it is. And I'll say this. I could go either way. I don't have like stock in the outcome, but but my ears and eyes are open. Now let this continue. Okay, first of all, how sick does he look? I want to back that up. How freaking cool does young Sephiroth look? I'm not going to lie. When they first showed him off, I liked the way he looked, but I wondered if the presentation of him was going to be cheesy. I don't know. I think he looks sick. Kevin Ribeiro says, Sephiroth being the golden child actually gets talked about in Advent Children. Kadaj whines that Sephiroth was always Genova's favorite. Ooh, you're right! See, this to me, it's like this is going to be the tragedy of Sephiroth, is his friends and colleagues saw him as this like prodigy golden child. People like Cloud, who looked up to him, saw him as like this ideal hero. You know, like you said, in Advent Children, Kadaj is like, oh, Sephiroth is Genova's favorite. I think all of that, in a sense, I wouldn't use the word retooled, but I think now they're forcing us to look at this in a way that really shows that, like, Sephiroth is a tragic character. You know, just to give you guys a quick little lore dump, you have to remember that when Hojo got Lucrezia pregnant, Lucrezia is Sephiroth's biological mother, Hojo the biological father, that while she was pregnant with Sephiroth, they injected the Genova cell. They injected the Genova cells into her pregnant body, into Sephiroth's, when Sephiroth was a fetus. They injected the Genova cells, meaning that he, in a sense, was born a monster. He, in a sense, was born, you know, corrupted by Genova. In a sense, it's like they didn't even let him breathe his first breath before he had already been tampered with, injected with like an alien DNA. You know, it's sort of giving this idea of like, he never had a choice. A big part of FF7 is the question of free will. And, you know, all the heroes at the end of Remake, they're fighting for their right to have a free will, right? Boundless, terrifying freedom. But have we considered that Sephiroth is fighting the same fight? That maybe everything that's going on with him in Remake and the reason why the devs are painting him as this tragedy is like, hey, he wants a free will too. Yeah, you heard my voice crack. Voice had a little crack there. What could I say? I ain't perfect. Lindsay Brown is here. Says also Lucifer was a regular angel at some point. Exactly. Lindsay, I'm glad you're here. It really paints into the sort of fallen angel trope that characters like Sephiroth have. Like, it's an archetype. It's a pattern of being. Someone like Sephiroth, like Lucifer, who's on top of the world, who's favored, right? In the way that Lucifer want, like, again, is favored the way Lucifer in the kingdom of heaven was, the way Sephiroth is in the kingdom of Shinra. But then they fall. Then they fall, you know? Not to compare Shinra to the kingdom of God or heaven or Nirvana, whatever it is you might believe, but you see the point, right? The pattern of someone being at the top, being revered and seen as a hero or being given favor, and then that person, whether the kingdom or the pyramid they belong to is good or bad, they fall. There's a fallen aspect. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Lindsey Brown says he looks like a child and I worry for his safety despite the fact I know he's an alien baby. It's crazy, right? Because he's like a human science alien baby, right? He was born, he was conceived a human, injected with alien DNA, and was born as like a waking science project. It's actually kind of horrific and grotesque. Make it a smash skin, young Sephiroth. Yes, that would be awesome. Starlatte says, maybe there was a voice crack, but you know what isn't cracked? The audio and video connection. And that is why you and Umbra are the best mods in the game. There you go. All right. Someone has to explain the aliens now. I'm so lost. Okay, Sven, you know what? This is cool for maybe. Sven, this is why I'm glad you're here. This is why I love that this podcast has a back and forth with the chat, because maybe you're listening to this, and like Sven, you're not as caught up on the FF7 lore. So Sven, if you're familiar with Genova, Shinra's like prized possession, you know, the being or figure Sephiroth conceives to be his mother. So the story is that Genova crash landed on Earth thousands of years ago, or maybe it was 1,000 years ago, but millennia ago, Genova crash landed on Earth through a meteor. This is, again, one of the reasons why the meteor is such a big symbol in the world of FF7, is Genova crashed onto Earth, creating this crater, and the ancients, the tribe of people that Aerith is a descendant of, the ancients discovered Genova. But Genova works as this sort of virus, this mind virus, and Genova, the mind virus, got seeped into the ancients and took over the ancients from within and almost led to their extinction. However, there are some, it's kind of loose if there's others, but one surviving ancient being Aerith. And it's sort of this ongoing war between Genova, the ancients, and now the humans as they are now are involved too. So Genova's not like an alien who came here via a spaceship. She's sort of this self-sustained. How would I describe Genova? She's like an artificially intelligent parasite that seeps into your mind, you know, via DNA. Like Cloud has been injected with Genova cells the same way Sephiroth's been injected with Genova cells. So it gives her special sort of manipulation or influence over those that have been injected with those cells. So I hope that's been able to help. I hope that was helpful. You guys in the chat, let me know if I explained that all right. I think I did an all right job. Thoughts, Marlene might be an ancient descendant. Lindsay, you're reading my mind, Lindsay. I 100% think Marlene very well might be an ancient. I think it's true. I think Advent Children alludes to this in some ways. I think Remake alludes to this in some ways. But anyway, it's taking forever to get through this seed. Let's watch the next 45 seconds and we'll keep this episode going. What a beast, dude. I want to pause. So you know that famous shot of Sephiroth in the flames? It's kind of cool to see that it was a generational scene. And let's pause it right there. I think that's a cool little freeze frame. think that's a cool little freeze frame we can leave up for right now. I want to get back to Genova because I think I could actually explain it a little bit better, maybe make it a little bit cleaner. I personally perceive, and I've wanted to make a video about this for a while, but I've perceived Genova to be sort of like an artificially intelligent being, not in the way we use AI like through computers, but in the sense that, like, just like AI, like, you look at all this AI art and AI voice cloning. What is AI able to do? It can clone. It can mimic. That's what AI can do. It takes in data, its input, and its output is just rearranging that data in a certain way. It's all mimicry. Genova works the same way. Genova works in that sort of mimetic, mimic kind of way as well. So the best way to personify her is she's an alien virus that crash-landed on Earth via a comet and has since seeped its way into the human and ancient population. And what FF7 is the tail end of that war between the ancients, Genova, and the humans. So, and it's funny, right? Because Sephiroth has these perceptions that he's an ancient and the planet is his birthright. And then there's Aerith, who's half ancient, right? Because her mother was ancient, but her father wasn't. And again, it's the tail end of that battle where, again, you have Sephiroth, who stands in for Genova. Think Sephiroth and Genova. Genova being like the cruel, devouring mother with Sephiroth versus Aerith standing with the planet, this more loving, benevolent mother, which is personified through Minerva. So think about it like that. Think about it like a big wrestling match, a millennia-long wrestling match. We're at the peak. We have Aerith and the planet versus Sephiroth and Genova. You know, a dark, cruel mother in Genova, this disordinate alien virus from another world, and then the planet itself, that beautiful organism that has everything we need to survive, live, and thrive. And there's this virus that wants to corrupt it, corrupt that planet to its core. And the only thing standing in its way are the humans and the last remaining ancient, or two. But anyway, enough of my babbling. Enough of my babbling. Let's maybe get back into a little bit of the gameplay discussion. Maybe not necessarily the gameplay, but, you know, we are at the 1 hour point. And I kind of want to, before I maybe just engage with the chat and we'll go back and forth before we wrap it up, I really just kind of want to give my, not final thoughts, but overall, I think the gameplay is solid. It's not anything groundbreaking, but it's fun. It's very fun, and it's fun to play as, like, whatever character you want. Like, it's cool that you can go through Crisis Core, but play as Aerith. Or that you can go through OG and play as Zack. Like, it's kind of cool that it gives you those options within the battle. Obviously, it doesn't influence what we see in the cutscenes, but in the battle, you could choose to play as whoever you want to play as, and I think that's very cool. So overall, I'd give the gameplay, like, an 8 out of 10. I'd give the soundtrack a 9 out of 10. I'd give the graphics a solid 8 out of 10. Like, whether we're talking about the in-game battle graphics, which are remarkable, or these sort of more, like playful-looking sprites, these are cool, too. I really think the only thing holding the game back is that I just think the gacha mechanics are just too in-your-face. Like, you finish a story mission, and it's like, boom, there's this promotion, and boom, there's this promotion, and hey, you can get this gear, or you can get this ticket, and it's just like, I just want to play the game. I just want to play the game, man. Don't interrupt me trying to sell me something in between every mission. So if they could pull back on constantly hitting you with promotion, I think that would be really good. But again, as I stated earlier in the episode, where I give them credit is they haven't been very predatory. Like, they released a new Tifa outfit you can win in this promotion, and I was able to get it in like 10 minutes. You know, and it really wasn't hard. So I will say I am a big fan of that. I hope to see that continue, personally. But yeah, overall, I'm very happy with how it started. I think the story stuff that I've seen from First Soldier is very cool. There's a new trio that I like. I like all three of them. I already see them as like honorary FF7 characters. But I'm excited to learn more. I'm excited for the story to continue. Get to know who these characters are, how they get into these situations. And who knows, maybe we get to learn more about them as the series goes on. But yeah, let's get into the chat. We've reached the 1 hour mark. We've reached the 1 hour mark and we haven't been kicked off the internet. So I'd say that's a success. But let's get into the chat. Crystal Randall says, happy that I'm finally able to catch a stream live. Recently found your YouTube channel and have been watching all your Kingdom Hearts videos. Just wanted to say I love your channel and your videos. Crystal, thanks so much, A, for stopping by and hanging out, and B, for those kind words. You know, comments like that, people like yourself reaching out to me, letting me know they enjoy everything I'm putting out there. It's what keeps me going. It's what motivates me to make more stuff. And listen, we might get lucky. I've got a Kingdom Hearts video I'm working on. I hope to have that released tomorrow. There's an Aqua video I'm working on, but it's taken me a long time. It's like a 20-30 minute video, but I'm excited for it. Just know that we're cooking. Just know that we're cooking. But thank you, Crystal. Welcome to the Lodge, and I'm glad you're here. Okay. Kevin Ribeiro says, Genova equals devil. Sephiroth equals Antichrist, the false messiah. Minerva equals gift of the goddess. Aerith equals the shepherd, the one who leads you to the promised land. You know what? Like that, I vibe with that interpretation. The only one I might disagree with is Minerva. I don't think Minerva is the gift of the goddess. I think Minerva is the goddess. But other than that, I agree with that framing of it. Eugenio is here. What's going on, man? By the way, I saw a leak that the Master of Masters is Kairi's grandma in a bikini. We knew it. We knew it. We called it. We called it here first, folks. We called it here first. All right. All right, guys. I'm going to go refill my waters. Feel free to drop in the chat what any of your overall thoughts are about Ever Crisis, any theories that you might be brewing, be it Ever Crisis Rebirth. Feel free to drop that in the chat so we can get a little back and forth going before we wrap it up. I'm going to throw on a little commercial break. And yeah, I'm going to refill my water and then we'll get right back to it. All right, we back. What the dog doing, right? What the dog doing? Even though I'm working, I keep your streaming on in the background open to help you out with that monetization, you know what I mean? Yeah, hey, anything to please the almighty algorithm, right? Anything to please that almighty algorithm. I will never not say that when Landy's dog is on screen. Well, maybe. Maybe this episode we'll do a farewell with him. We'll bring him on before we wrap it up. Okay. Is the president in cahoots with Genova or just on his own nefarious mission? He's on his own nefarious mission. I'll answer that question. He's on his own nefarious mission. He's got his own ambitions. But yeah, you'll be interested to learn more about the president as you move forward. I suggest you play Final Fantasy X for a change. That would be a friggin' bomb for the stream and a good change for the fans. I mean, dude, I love Final Fantasy X. It might be my favorite Final Fantasy. Might be. I don't know. Wait, what? Do you get a dog in the game? No, I mean my dog. My dog. Like, I'd bring him on camera before we wrap up. Oh, man. Doggo Walking Simulator. Yeah, baby. But, I mean, you do technically get a dog in the game, right? Red 13? Does that count? I feel like that counts. But I wonder, how old is Sephiroth supposed to be in First Soldier? You know, I don't think they've mentioned that. They mentioned that he's like a kid, you know, or at least he's perceived to be a kid. But I wonder how old he actually is. Like, if you were to put a number on it, you know what I'm saying? Landy, are you Latino related in some way? I can tell when you call my name that you have a Spanish gene going on. Yeah, no, you are correct. I'm actually 50% Spanish. I am 25% Cuban, 25% Puerto Rican, and 50% Italian. So yeah, you caught it. You caught it, Eugenio. Sven says, do we expect to see the cat party member in Ever Crisis? I want to be the royal cat ASAP. Eventually. By the time... It's going to take a few updates. It might take a few more updates, maybe one or two more updates before you get to that character. But you will play as that character. Without me giving anything else away, Sven, you will play as that character. All in good time. Red 13 would be so chuffed at being called a dog. I'm not a lab rat dog. Said something like that in Remake. Yeah, sorry, Barrett called him a lab rat dog. I'm not a lab rat dog. Which, man, they could not have gotten a better voice actor for Red. Let me just throw that out there. LOL, the Tifa Italian Senate hack. Listen... look, judge me if you will. Judge me if you will. But when the Tifa Italian Senate hack happened, I told Charlotte, I was like, I'm so proud to be an Italian today. I am so proud to be an Italian. I am so proud that Tifa has become an Italian icon. For too long, Mario has been an Italy's video game icon. I am so happy that as of last year, Tifa has become Italy's new video game icon. Very happy about that. Very happy about it. Sven says, such a teaser to show them an FF7 remake. Got me itching to play the OG, even though I'd hate the gameplay the whole time. Are you not like a turn-based combat fan? Because there's a lot of parts of the FF7 gameplay that have aged very well. But if you're not into turn-based, not a whole lot you could do about that. By the way, I'm Puerto Rican too. There you go, baby. What's up? Got a fellow Rican in the chat right here. Happy you're here, bro. Kevin Barrow says, if there are leaks about Kingdom Hearts, I need to know if Kitties is Subject X. We all know she's Subject X. We've been over that. As far as the Lodge is concerned. Okay. You should play FF10 just for a change. I feel like you said that earlier. Yeah. I might stream it one of these days. I love that game so much. I really do. I would stream it one of these days. Okay, we are at 1 hour and 9 minutes. Can confirm Nick has brought up Tifa becoming an Italian icon multiple times since her debut. Listen, I tell you guys all the time, I might get shit wrong, but I'm never lying. I might get some lore wrong. One of my theories might be wrong, but I'm never lying. Okay? When I tell you I was ecstatic Tifa was an Italian icon, it's because it was the truth. It's because it was the truth. All right. Let me see what else we got. See if there was anything I missed from earlier. Let's see. Fire so strong it lowers my stream's viewing quality by force, even though it's on highest, not auto. So about that game changer, I may have explained this at the start of the episode. No, last episode I explained this. So my internet connection has been unstable, but there's a setting in the streaming software I use that when the connection is weak, it lowers the resolution as opposed to lagging or skipping frames. So it's not anything with your computer or your phone or anything. It's just my weak signal compensating by lowering the quality. So don't you worry about it. By the way, Landy, I am half Puerto Rican as well. Look at that, baby. Birds of a feather flock together. We're chilling. Do we think more FF7 characters will appear in KH4 since they are capitalizing on FF7 again? Yes. 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 Because think about it. We saw plenty of them in Remind. You know what I mean? And if I'm not mistaken, Remind came out just before Remake. So I think we can expect to see some FF7 characters in KH4. Don't quote me on it. Young Sephiroth for KH4? That would be sick. That'd be sick. All right. By the way, what are your opinions on the Final Fantasy IX remake? That game is going to be a bomb. I can't wait. I am eagerly waiting for FF9 remake. But honestly, we're not going to see it until after Rebirth. No way Square Enix is going to clog up the marketing PR by having two remakes heavily advertised at once. They're going to let Rebirth make its big splash, and then you're going to start to see a lot of that FF9 stuff come out. That's my prediction. Not saying it'll come to pass, but I've been more right than I've been wrong. Okay. Lindsey Brown says Sora will be like, oh, I could take him, then get toasted. I mean, considering he gets reset to level 1 at the start of each game, KH4 Sora right now will get totally toasted by Sephiroth. What if Ever Crisis is part of an alternative timeline and young Sephiroth shows up in Unreality? Too much, guys. Too much. We can't be crisscross. We can't be canonically. That's one thing I hope they don't. I don't want to say I hope they don't. If they're going to do this, I'd hope they'd wait for certain sagas to complete before doing it. But I would caution them canonically crossing over FF7 and Kingdom Hearts. I do like that the FF7 characters we see in Kingdom Hearts are kind of a different story, different timeline. So will 9 remake come out before all the 7 story is done being remade? Yes, because I believe what's going to happen is Rebirth will come out, and then in between Rebirth and the third title, the FF9 remake will come out. Then we'll get the final title. Okay. Yeah, it seems like, honestly, I think both FF7 and Kingdom Hearts have matured their narrative perspective. I would say that. Not that old school FF7 or old school Kingdom Hearts wasn't mature or didn't have mature themes and stuff like that, but it would appear to me, whether it be through the remake or the Lost Masters arc, that both series are kind of maturing and understanding their audiences are a little bit older than they were a decade ago. Tifa be like, I am the Senate. Yes. Yeah, I don't see too many FF7 characters in Kingdom Hearts 4, but they are for sure integrating more Final Fantasy universe for sure. I could see Cloud, Sephiroth, Zack, Tifa. I don't think we'll see the Radiant Garden gang. You know, your Cid, Yuffie, Aerith. But I could see it. All right, let me double check here. Was there anything else I wanted to bring up or say? Before I wrap it up here. Okay, I'll say this. I wonder if this was foreshadowing of some sorts, right? Like right after Sephiroth says a story is given shape, an unprecedented tale, another possibility. Right after he says that, we go into a tutorial where it starts with Cloud fighting him and ends with Zack fighting him. Now, I don't want to get too crazy, but there's part of me that's like, is there going to be a Cloud Zack versus Sephiroth fight? Is that what's coming? I don't know. But I can't help but think that that's what that might be, a wink and a nod to. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Because again, I don't want to get too into it because I know we have some people here that haven't finished OG FF7, so I don't want to give too much away. But I have to wonder. I have to wonder if that's a little wink and a nod. Okay, was there anything else I wanted to bring up in particular? Elmira's looking good. Flashback was more of the same. Yeah, this is a... Oh, no, I'm a little bit before this. I'm like up to here. Okay. Yeah, I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. Let me see what the chat's getting at. I think it's amazing young adult fiction. I think that's what you mean. Japanese media has always been good at making art where most ages can enjoy slash play. Yeah, you know, because again, it's like as I've gotten older, it's not like I don't enjoy FF7 the same way I did 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Sven says, I don't think it's more mature, to be honest. Wasn't some people left alive in FF7 Remake that died in the OG? Technically speaking, yes. But I don't think death is the only thing that dictates whether something's mature, right? Like, yes, dealing with life and death is a mature topic. FF7 Remake is obviously going there. But what I say about them kind of tackling things from a more mature perspective, you know, primarily I think it goes to, you know, when I think of the FF7 ending, and when I think about Square Enix taking this direction with FF7, is Cloud's mom playable? No, can't say that she is, at least not yet. It would appear to me that they're not... When I say they're taking a more mature angle, to me, it's about them not playing it safe is part of it, right? Because they could have played it safe and just gave everyone FF7 OG all over again. But they not only decided to do what they did, I really enjoy that they're challenging the themes from the original FF7. And I think that's what I was trying to find the words for, is that, you know, think about Zack. What does Zack really value? Zack, above all else, values freedom. That's why being a merc was such an appealing idea to him. He values freedom, being a hero. These are things that matter to him. But what Remake is posturing is that that freedom has consequences. Now, is freedom worth the consequences? Of course. But Remake is challenging that thought, right? Okay, you guys want your freedom. You want your free will so that you can make decisions that deviate from the whispers, that deviate from the trail of events that are supposed to occur. You want free will to break from that? Sure. But in taking that freedom, that boundless, terrifying freedom, you have now allowed not only for better things to occur, but worse things to occur as well. And when I say that FF7 has a more mature approach, that's primarily what I mean, is that it's questioning where the resolve and the themes and the approach that it took 2 decades ago, it's calling it into question. Not to prove it wrong, right? But to steelman it, to prove it even further by creating more obstacles, more discourse, and more pushback on these ideas than was originally presented in the original. And that's what I would say. Okay. All right, Shadow Player says, I forgot there was a stream tonight. Do we think Young Seth will tie into Edge of Creation, Seth? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, technically speaking, yes, they are the same, right? But will there be some kind of, like, time loop tie-in? I don't think so. All right. Kevin Ribeiro says, a moment of respect to Sephiroth's mom, Lucrezia. All the power she held in for 9 months. Woman is powerful. Yeah, baby. It's the most powerful thing a human being can do is carry a life for 9 months and then shoot it out. Let me tell you, man. It's powerful stuff. I can see where you guys are coming from for sure. No hate, just different opinion. Absolutely. Hey, listen, Sven, I know you're not new here. No hate about disagreements. There's no hate about disagreements. We know that. Welcome back, Umbra. Just in time for us to wrap it up. I think I am going to wrap it up here, guys. This has been a really fun episode. I've had a good time. I hope you've all had a good time. Ever Crisis is fun. It's nice to have FF7 back at the forefront. Rebirth is right around the corner. So we'll have plenty of FF7 and Rebirth stuff to talk about. I got a Kingdom Hearts video I want to put out tomorrow. I can't guarantee it'll be out tomorrow, but I'm going to try. And I've got an Aqua video I'm working hard on. It's going to be about 20, 30 minutes long. Expect that in a week or two. And I've got an FF7 video that I'm cooking. So a lot cooking in the lodge. We're going live Saturday morning, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time for KH Reconnect. That's the next episode of the lodge. It's going to be the Reconnect episode. It goes live 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going live for like an hour and a half. But yeah, let's wrap it up there. Loved hanging out with you guys. Got a lot coming through the pipeline. Thanks for hanging out as always. Love going back and forth with the chat. You guys are all awesome.